Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to paradise. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. Okay, I'm not talking paradise as in streets of gold, God being its light and the center of attention. Not that ultimate paradise, but for a street fisher. Oh, this is like walking streets of gold. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. We're entering into the courtyard, and there is nothing but students basically sitting around, and lining the courtyard are all kinds of people with their little tables set up to give away literature. And guess what sign I see? Away with all gods, unchaining the mind and radically changing the world. Apparently a Bob Avakian said that. And they've got some stuff. Yep, Bob Avakian has a book called Away with All Gods. Revolution, Why It Is Necessary, Why It Is Possible, What It's All About. A film by Bob Avakian. And it looks like they've got a newspaper called Revolution, and they've even got literature. A little tract, if you will. Guys, can I read one of these? Is that okay?
Yeah, take it.
All right, morality without gods, fantasy or possibility. The concept of morality an atheist cannot possess. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't have morals. What it means is the atheistic worldview does not provide for the concept of morality. And so every time they admit that they've got morals, they're basically admitting there's an objective authority. I'm eavesdropping. Can I listen to what you're chatting about? Would that be okay?
No, we're just talking about religion and, like, some things about, like, the free will argument of, like, well, if God is omniscient and omnipotent and he created all living beings and he knows everything that you're going to do, you know, from when you live to die, then how can you really make the argument that there's free will, even though you may be able to choose, you know, whatever the things are independently that one does in life? It's like, well, he knows the choices you're going to make beforehand. So why not just cut out the middleman and just send some souls that he created directly to hell and some directly to heaven? Yeah. So I don't know. We're just kind of like debating about this.
And what side are you on?
I'm an atheist.
So. Uh-huh. And what are you?
I'm trying to take a position right now.
Trying to figure it out. Yes. Dude, where are you going for dinner tonight? Do you know?
Home.
Uh-huh. So now I know you're going to home. Mm-hmm. Does that change your free will and your ability to choose to go home tonight?
No.
Alrighty, that's the explanation right there.
I don't think it applies to, like, a creator. Like, you didn't create me, I'm assuming.
What? Yeah, we're talking about knowledge. We're talking about omniscience.
Right.
He knows what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You've got a free will. End of story.
No, yeah, you do have a free will, right? Even if you did. Let's say there was a God and he created everyone and they have free will. But if he is omniscient, which the Bible claims, then he knows, even if you do have free will to choose, he knows what choices you will make. So if he created everyone in his image, individually, he would know, like, oh, well, this guy's going to commit some sins and, like, go to hell or go to heaven.
Actually, you've got an interesting point, but you've got the wrong label. That wouldn't fall under omniscience. That would fall under sovereignty. God controlling the affairs of men. That would be sovereignty, that he has decided that you're going home tonight for dinner and he knows how many steps you're going to take because he's orchestrated and designed it. That would be sovereignty, not omniscience. Omniscience is easy,
like,
with free will.
I know what you're saying. But I'm saying, like, if he already knows all this stuff, then why in the beginning, before he created the humans, why wouldn't he just say, well, I'm going to create, you know, these billions of souls and stuff like that, and then, like, eventually they're going to live these short lives and then either spend the rest of their time with me in a paradise,
right,
or...
Let me recap what I think you're saying in a syllogism. You're saying that God knows everything that I'm going to do. I'm supposed to have free will. Therefore, God doesn't exist. That's basically what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying, like, well, it's kind of a paradox. If he is omniscient and omnipotent, then free will,
it exists... It may be a paradox, but that doesn't lead us to the conclusion that God doesn't exist.
No, that argument is not what we were talking about. We were just getting into, like, a specific thing.
Okay. So why don't you believe in God?
Well, I don't think there's any evidence for its existence.
This courtyard, do you believe that it came into existence by itself, or there was an architect and builders who put it together?
Wait, that was made by men.
It was made by man. That's right. Now, did you see the men make this courtyard?
No, I wasn't here when they were building it, but I know that.
But you know it for a fact because you've got the evidence, you've got their handiwork. Therefore, there's a handiworker. Same thing is true with God. You know that he created us because there's a creation. That's how we know there's a God. So all the evidence in the world is surrounding you with the air you breathe by looking at the trees and the stars. They got put there by somebody. Mm-hmm. That would be God.
Well, I mean, we've actually, like, figured out an explanation for, you know, the emergence of life, you know, the Uri Miller experiments and stuff where they've actually created amino acids, from...
Very, 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 very flawed experiment, but go on.
Okay, and like, you know, we've created the essential amino acids necessary for the creation of life and proteins and stuff like that. And
no,
so,
no,
like...
No, we haven't. We've manipulated and adjusted, but nobody's created something out of nothing. Nobody. Not Uri Miller. Nobody.
Okay, well, I mean, we can go back to the experiment if you want, but, I mean, like, what I'm saying is, like, we have an
but
easier...
But the experiment doesn't prove that we came from nothing. The experiment proves that we know how to manipulate stuff, which is interesting because we manipulate it and come up with a conclusion. Mm-hmm. Those things don't happen by themselves. There's design involved. So there's plenty of evidence for you. There's everything. The everything that you're standing on is proof that somebody put it here. That's how you can know there's a God. It's foolproof, really.
No, I don't think it is.
What more evidence do you need than a universe?
I don't think it's necessarily created by a God.
How did it get here?
I don't know. That doesn't mean a God did it.
Okay. So you don't know how it got here. So you're saying now, I don't know how it got here, therefore God doesn't exist?
Yeah.
That's illogical.
Why? Where did God come from? Like, where did the idea that people have for a God, where did that come from?
I think probably two places. If you read the Bible, it doesn't try to prove that God exists. It simply says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says that the person who says in his heart there is no God is really without excuse because it's so obvious we intuitively know there's a God, and it's supported by the fact that there's a creation. It had to come from someone.
Matthew said atheists are fools, I guess. Wasn't that the quote?
Psalm 14.
I don't know. But no, I mean, you know...
By the way, a fool isn't somebody who's just a Three Stooge knucklehead who wanders around not, you know, running into walls and putting whipped cream on people's heads. A fool is somebody who can be very intelligent, but they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's obvious to you there's a creator. It's unmistakable. You just don't want to acknowledge it.
Well, I would acknowledge it if I saw some kind of, like, something that could conclusively prove to me that there was a creator. That's why we're having this debate. Like, that's why we're inviting a Christian pastor to come out and, like, actually debate with atheists about, you know, whether there is a God.
Everything you see that's, or like these little pamphlets that you've got, somebody typed these and put these words in order, correct?
Yeah.
Your DNA is typed and put in order. Who was the typer? Who was the order? It had to be somebody. It screams, order screams, an orderer. That's your proof there is a God. There's another way, though, to prove that there's a God. Are you ready for this? This is a little bit more dicey. You ready?
Let me hear.
All right, I'm gonna now bypass your intellect, and I'm going to go straight toward your conscience, the courtroom in your mind that says there's right and wrong. All right? So I'm going to ask you, are you a good person? Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah, I try.
All right. Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Can you tell me the Ten Commandments?
Yes. How many lies have you told?
No, can you... I don't...
Yeah, I'm taking you through them right now.
Okay.
One is lying. How many times have you broken that law?
A few times.
So if I told a lie a few times, what would you call me?
A liar.
Mm-hmm. Have you stolen anything in your lifetime?
Yeah.
All right. What does that make you?
A thief.
All right. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust, with sexual desire?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the Bible says that if you do that, you've committed adultery in your heart, because God judges well beyond just looking at our actions. He looks at the intentions and the desires of our heart. Uh-huh. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's your name?
I'm Jay.
Jay, nice to meet you. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart. You're not a good person at all. And your conscience agrees with that. You know that those things were wrong. Something inside of you says, I shouldn't have done those things, and I feel guilty because you are guilty. So, if the Bible is true, Jay, it's appointed unto man once to die, then you get judged. Will he find you innocent or guilty on your judgment day?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is the Old Testament still valid?
Interpretive question, but my question is, would you be innocent or guilty?
Of breaking the Ten Commandments? Obviously, I would be guilty of breaking the Ten Commandments.
So if God is just, you die, you face him, he knows every deed done in darkness, everything you've done and failed to do that is kind and good. You haven't thanked him for air. In fact, you've spent some of your calories trying to prove that he doesn't exist. Would you go to heaven or hell?
I don't know. I don't think I would go anywhere. I don't think those places exist.
Irrelevant. If it does exist, it doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. Would you go there or not, if it exists?
Well, I don't think you would go to heaven or hell because they don't exist.
Yeah. if they do exist, where would you go?
You wouldn't go anywhere. They don't exist. It's like saying, like, if the sky was purple...
So it shouldn't be a problem for you to go, Jay, no big worries, dude. I'm going to hell in your little fantasy world. You should be able to say that without any problems.
Yeah, and hypothetically, if all this stuff in the Bible was true, yeah, I would go to hell. Well, humans should kill me, because that's what the Ten Commandments were for. Because God could just directly kill them. Why would he have to give them the commandments? He could just kill them himself. Yeah. But he sent them down for Moses to enforce those laws on the people. So kill people if they commit adultery, if they steal, yeah, commit lust.
However it happens... If the Bible is true, Jay, mm-hmm, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing inside of you says, I don't like that thought at all.
No.
So you're not concerned that if you died, your conscience, which screams, I've done wrong, I'd be guilty before a holy God, I'm going to hell, that doesn't bother you at all?
No, just like I don't break Aesop's fables and get afraid that the talking fox is going to come punish me in my afterlife. Right. You know, it's like I don't care. Like,
all right. Fair enough. How long are you going to be here today?
Till 2.
Okay, so you're gonna be hanging out for a while, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll come back and visit after a while, all right, Jay?
All right.
So as I leave, here's where we left it. If what I've said is true, you're going to hell. So I'm gonna leave you sitting with the thought of being in hell.
Okay.
And I'll come back and talk to you later, all right?
All right, man. What's your name?
My name's Todd. Pleasure to meet you, Jay.
Nice
we'll see you again. I'll be right there, sir. All righty. This is a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening today. We always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your time with us here at Wretched Radio. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is our latest evangelistic resource, a great tool to share with skeptics, agnostics, atheists, even church members. The world would have us believe that Jesus was perhaps a good teacher, but certainly no more than that. The fly in that ointment, of course, is the Bible. This booklet shows how the Bible profoundly and undeniably proves that Jesus Christ is no mere mortal. He is, in fact, God in the flesh. Do this. Visit wretched.org/time and get your copy of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Read it, and then come back and get some more and hand them out. wretched.org/time to get your copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs that Jesus is God. wretched.org/time. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks. Basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families. Along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
We get it. This new normal is, well, not yet normal. So if you're tired of surfing through whatever streaming services you have, then might I suggest checking out The Man Who Split Time. Imagine a man who lived such an extraordinary life that Western civilization changed the entire calendar system to commemorate his birthday. The obvious question would be, who was that man? And what did he do to deserve such an unprecedented honor? Well, that man doesn't have to be imagined. That individual is Jesus Christ. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is the perfect booklet to give to any skeptic or unbeliever who thinks that Jesus was just a mere mortal. Get your copies now at wretched.org/time and start giving them away to anyone and everyone. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is waiting now at wretched.org/time.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, we didn't send Jay the atheist to hell. He was already on a highway to hell. We just helped him understand that's his state. Welcome back. This is Wretched Radio. It's a Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia State University, and I'm like a... We have a trot farm near our home. That's what I feel like. This is just, come on, son. Take that pole that the man gave you and just stick it in the water and something's going to bite. It's amazing. There's students everywhere. We found the atheist table. I was also told during the break, because right next to the atheist table is a group of Christians from Pennsylvania. They've got their table set up in this little courtyard area where they are witnessing to people. Looks like they're praying for some people. So there's literally the atheist right next to the Christian booth. And I was told that Jay the Atheist, whom we just heard, is actually the president of the Communist Party at Georgia State. Oh, boy. Caught in his web is a fellow who was listening to our conversation. I don't know his name, but he was eavesdropping on everything. So we're going to go back, as promised, and have a chat with the fellow who's chatting with the atheist. Hey, sir. Can I interrupt for a second? Did you want to talk to me for a moment?
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question. Is there any way, like you were talking about heaven and hell, is there any way to prove it by your own, you know, that like it exists? It really exists.
Well, here's where we need to start.
Yeah.
We start by looking around at these buildings, and we know there was a builder.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the trees, and there had to be a tree maker.
Yeah.
So we know there's a God. Now, the question is, what can I learn about God by looking at what he made?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I are communicating.
Yes.
Would it be fair for me to assume that the God who made us is a communicator?
Mm-hmm.
We communicate.
Yes.
I think he communicates. Now, the question then is, how does he communicate?
Uh-huh.
There are several books that claim communication from God. One of them is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible, if read, I think, with an open mind and an open heart, makes it clear God created the world. He's going to judge the world in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it is right for him to send people either to a good place or to a bad place. And
yes,
that's what the Bible describes. And your conscience, mm-hmm, that thing in your brain, says, you know what, that makes sense. And that's why we have even justice on the earth today. That's why we have courtrooms to punish lawbreakers. God, if he is just, must punish and send people to hell.
Okay.
So I was asking this guy where he would go. Were you tagging along and listening to those questions?
Well, me, myself, I don't believe personally that there is any place where I will go, whether it's heaven or hell. I don't believe in that neither.
Right, I understand that. But where, if it exists, where would you go?
According to the Bible, after death, you know, you're gone. You don't even have a memory. People don't even remember you.
That's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible teaches you get judged by God and you go to heaven or you go to hell. Do you know what hell is like?
Well, I don't know, and I'm not trying to know, because I think it's a way to maybe frighten people, because the Bible, like you said, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes that after death, you don't even have a memory. The dead don't worship God.
Yeah,
that's
not what it teaches. If you read the rest of Ecclesiastes and go to Ecclesiastes 12, I believe it's verse 8, makes it clear that the person who wrote Ecclesiastes, Solomon,
mm-hmm,
believed that there was absolutely an afterlife. That's not what he meant earlier in Ecclesiastes. And the Bible is replete with the concept. You get judged, you go to heaven, or you go to hell. And I can understand not wanting to think about it because it's a horrible thought. But it's foolish to suppress the thought because I don't like the idea of it. And by not thinking that it exists doesn't make it go away. If it exists, what's your name?
My name is Etienne.
Etienne.
Yeah.
Where would you go, heaven or hell, if it exists?
Well, you said it is a condition if it exists.
That's right.
But I don't believe in that.
Where would you go?
I'm living right now. When I'm dead, I'm dead. I'm gone.
Okay, so Etienne,
yeah,
if it doesn't exist, you know what you should be able to say to me?
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to say, sir, it doesn't exist. Fine. In your little imaginary life, I'd go to hell, but I'm not going because it doesn't exist. So you'd be going to hell, right?
Well, if it exists, yeah.
Etienne,
yeah,
if it exists, you're going to hell.
If it
does. Do you know why?
Why?
Because you've broken God's laws.
Why? Which one?
How many lies have you told?
Oh, I've told some lies in my life, yeah.
That's one of his laws.
Uh-huh.
The Bible says all liars will have their part in a lake of fire.
Yeah.
How many things have you taken from somebody else?
I don't steal.
All right. Mm-hmm. Even as a child?
Probably I've done it, but not
God
consciously.
God doesn't forget the sins of our youth.
Okay.
So you've stolen things. Have you looked with lust, with sexual
desire?
I've
done that too, yeah.
Yeah, even today, standing here looking at these pretty girls walking by, right?
Not absolutely what I'm doing. I'm here, you know, I'm meditating right now. And that was the main point, what I was talking about, yeah.
Okay, so you haven't had any time to lust today?
I've done it previously, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you're an adulterer at heart? Have you taken?
No, no.
Oh, you are. God sees you as an adulterer. You don't have to commit the act. You need to think about it. And he's got you tagged because he knows the thought life. He knows the deeds that go on inside of our heart.
Yeah.
ATN, that's why you'd go to hell. You're a lawbreaker.
You're
a criminal before God.
Before God, yes, but I try to respect the law as much as I can.
Which is great, and we should.
Yes,
but that doesn't get us off the hook if we've broken them.
I don't think that... maybe God is omniscient, you know?
And more than that, ATN... Mm-hmm. You haven't respected the laws because you've broken them. And that demonstrates you're not a respecter of God's laws. You're a lawbreaker. You're not a law keeper or a law respecter. You're a lawbreaker.
No, I respect the law. I respect
the
law.
Not when you lie and lust.
Well, see, if in that case, believe me, then nobody is going to heaven.
I agree. That's what the Bible says. Nobody deserves to go to heaven.
Okay.
But people do go to heaven. Do you know why they go to heaven?
Probably because they do better than other people.
Nobody does good. You are exactly right. Nobody deserves to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Everybody should go to hell, but that's not what the Bible teaches. God is good. He's just, and he's going to punish lawbreakers, including you.
Yeah.
But to demonstrate his kindness, he'd like to save you from hell.
Of course, that would be nice. That's what we're looking for.
That's right. So this is how he provided a way for you to escape hell. He sent his son, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, to live the perfect life, to keep all the laws that you've broken, to fulfill all righteousness, to be brutally beaten, to be hung on a cross, to take the punishment you deserve. Your hell, if you will, was put on Jesus.
Okay.
And in exchange, he can give you his goodness. You can be seen as perfect before God because of what Jesus did. And then when you die, you can go to heaven, not because you're a good guy, but because you're a bad man who's been forgiven by a good word, good God, because of what Jesus did for you.
Okay. See, Todd, that's the problem that I have right now. I don't, reject any of the things that you say. I respect them from the, bottom of my heart. But the problem I have right now is that, when it comes to the Jesus and it comes to the Mahomet and it comes to this. Because all this, we have some prophets, or some people will call him God himself, Jesus, God himself. We have some prophet that says the same thing. The Mohammedan will tell you, if you don't follow Mohammed, you will go to hell when you die.
Muhammad promises you'll go to hell because you can't keep the laws of Islam.
Yeah.
Islam and Christianity are different, Etienne. Here's the difference. Islam and Buddhism and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness all teach the same thing. You must be good and you might be rewarded with paradise. It's a little bit of a simplification, but overall they teach a work-righteous system that says you can be good enough to go to heaven. The Bible is the only religion in the world that presents something radically different, and it says nobody does good, no, not one. Everybody falls short of God's standard. Everybody deserves death and hell and punishment and the wrath of God, but he's rich in mercy, and he sent his son to be born of a virgin, to live and die that a payment might be provided for the sins of the world. And if you will respond by repenting, apologizing for your sins, and putting your trust in Jesus, the Bible teaches you will be forgiven by God. You can't earn your way. The way has been purchased for you. It is by grace alone. Etienne, I just want to leave you with this thought. If you think that you're good enough to work your way to heaven, knock yourself out. But if there's something inside of you that says, I've sinned, I've done wrong, I've lied, I've stolen, I've lusted, I've blasphemed, I didn't honor my parents.
I acknowledge all this. I admit all this.
I need a Savior.
Yes,
and you've got one.
This.
And his name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can come to the Father through him if you'll repent and put your trust in him. It's the good news, Etienne. You say you're searching.
Yes,
you've just heard your answer. Your search is over.
Yes.
But you have got to submit your will and apologize and turn from your wicked ways and put your trust in Jesus. And God says, then I will adopt you as my own child, and I will receive you into my kingdom because of what my son Jesus did for you, that Jesus might be all in all, that he might receive all the glory, all the praise for being the most amazing entity in the entire universe. It's the gospel, Etienne. Your search is over, but now you need to deal with this. Stop looking. All the other ones say work. This one says surrender, and I'll save you. It's the good news of the gospel. Exclusive? Yes, but it's right, and it's true, and it's good, and it will save you on the day of judgment. I do not want you to go to hell, and that is not God's wish. He would like to see you come to repentance, and right now, he has arranged for me to be talking to you. I didn't hear his voice. He told me to go. He had me bump into you that you could hear this. that you're a sinner who can be saved. Etienne, don't reject this marvelous offer of his amazing
no,
kindness.
No, I do not reject.
Until you submit to it, you're rejecting it.
Yeah, it's a confusion that I have, and that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, I've shared with you what the Bible teaches.
Yes, and I acknowledge everything that you say, but I have to admit that I have a confusion. For example, if you want to take the Bible, it talks that in the ancient time, in the old books, in the sacred books, it was prophesied that there was coming a Messiah to deliver the people of Israel. The time
came, and his name is Jesus.
Yes, but the
and
same
you know why
people,
they rejected him?
That's one of the things
I'll tell you why,
gives
because
me
they
the
didn't
confusion.
Want to admit they were sinners. It's pride. Etienne, it's the same thing that will keep you from the good news. Pride, self-righteousness, thinking you can do it, not confessing you're a sinner. Etienne, think about what I just said to you. You can be forgiven by the creator of the universe now if you will humble yourself and repent and put your trust in Jesus, his son. Okay?
Yes.
Etienne, it's a pleasure. You're a gentleman, and I thank you for the chat. We'll be back. All right. Be praying for Etienne. Be praying for James. James is in hell, and Etienne is thinking about the good news, and we're going to keep going. Ooh, it's good out here. Look at all the people. Something tells me, too, we're going to be getting some open-air preaching at Georgia State University on a Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkenis. A Texas appeals court has ruled that a hospital must keep a 17-month-old girl on life support pending a trial addressing the merits of the law doctors invoke to withdraw life-sustaining treatment. The case has been winding its way through the court since November when Cook Children's Medical Center had planned to remove Tinsley Lewis from life support after invoking Texas' so-called 10-day rule. The law can be employed when a family disagrees with doctors on withdrawing life-sustaining treatment. Doctors at the Fort Worth Hospital have said Tinsley is in pain and won't ever improve. But her mother, Trinity, has said she doesn't think her daughter is suffering and that any end-of-life decision should be hers to make. The law stipulates if a hospital's ethics committee agrees with doctors, treatment can be withdrawn after 10 days, as long as a new provider can't be found to take the patient. Efforts to find another facility to take Tinsley have so far been unsuccessful. A lower court denied the mother's request for an injunction in January. The following day, Texas Second Court of Appeals granted her request to keep the child on life support until it could rule on the case. Last week, the appeals court reversed the lower court's order, denying the injunction, and sent the case back to trial court. Texas Right to Life has been speaking out for Tinsley, and they said in a statement they pray the court will strike down the 10-day rule in trial. Trinity Lewis said in the group statement that she was thankful the appeals court sees the injustice of the 10-day rule and will allow me to fight for my daughter. The hospital had no immediate comment. Praying for the Lewis family. A coalition of 18 states is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban, pointing to advances in science and brutal abortion procedures that involve ripping a fetus apart limb by limb. The Mississippi law was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor in 2018 and prohibits abortion after 15 weeks gestation except in medical emergency and cases of severe fetal abnormality. Still not fond of those exceptions. The U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals struck down the law, but the multi-state coalition is asking the Supreme Court to uphold it. In a July brief, the states argue much has changed since Roe, fetal viability decreasing from 28 weeks gestation in 1973, the year Roe v. Wade was handed down, to 21 weeks today. The coalition says the Fifth Circuit's decision conflicts with Roe's legal framework, but also the framework of the 1992 Planned Parenthood v. Casey decision and the 2020 June Medical Services decision. The brief was signed by attorneys general from Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and West Virginia. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton leading that coalition. If I may quote one line from the brief, unborn life has value. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
Attributes of God.
Psalm 139 tells us that God is omnipresent. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is not only outside and above his creation, he is present in every place, seeing what is happening. This is a comfort for those who love him, but a terror to those who hate him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Toys R Us. This is Wretched Radio, and we are having a Witness Wednesday. Okay, I'm a little bit curious now. The woman has got the courage to open up her pipes and start yelling out something. She wants to give away cookies, apparently. All right, why are you giving people cookies?
We're trying to get them to sign up for Relay for Life.
What is the Relay for Life?
It's a fundraising event for American Cancer Society.
All right, so you think life is precious?
Of course.
All right, ready for the big question?
Sure.
When does life begin?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
If it's precious, you should figure it out, shouldn't you?
I should. I'll think about that.
All right. I'll give you about 10 seconds because I'll ask you another question. Are you pro-choice or pro-life?
It depends on the circumstances.
No, it doesn't, and I'll tell you why. Because the question still is, when does life begin? It doesn't matter about the circumstances. The circumstances doesn't affect whether it's a human being or not, correct?
That's true.
I'm rich, and I live in Schenectady, and I'm pregnant. What is inside of my tummy?
A baby.
Okay. I'm poor, and I live in Nashville, Tennessee. What's inside of my tummy?
A baby.
All right. Tougher still, I've been raped, and I'm miserable. What's inside of my tummy?
An unwanted baby.
But it's a baby.
Yeah.
All right. So then the question isn't, what are my circumstances? The question is, what is it? And the answer is, it's a...
baby.
There you have it. So if it's precious, we should protect those babies, right?
Where exactly is it going to be? I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations, you're pro-life.
Okay.
That was easy. And I didn't even take any of your cookies.
You can have some, though.
I will take one in a little bit because I could use a little sugar kick if you don't mind me saying so. Would you agree with what I just said, by the way?
I do. Yeah, I am pro-life.
Good for you.
Always.
Well done. Because a baby is precious, like she just said, in a roundabout kind of way.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well done. All right. Thanks very much for the chat. Whoopsie.
Oh, excuse me.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Hey, as long as I just bumped into you, where are you headed right now?
I'm heading to lunch. All right. At the cafe.
I want to ask you the same question that this... I just asked this woman, all right?
Okay.
When do you think life begins?
From birth?
So what is it before it's born?
It's not born. That's all I can say. It's not born.
Not born. So life begins when it's born.
That's what
so
I
what's
say.
What's happening in there while it's growing and multiplying? And its brain is having waves, and it's responding to pain and to cold.
Well, it has life, just like, I mean, animals, you know, they feel pain, but I'm trying to compare a human to an animal. But
what you just said, the distinction I think you made is you described location.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's on that side of the stomach, it's not a person, but on this side of the stomach, it's a person, right? Mm-hmm. So location determines if something is a human being. Is that your argument?
I wouldn't disagree. I haven't fully made up my mind on the whole argument.
Okay, here's okay, I'm standing right here on this square, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I a human being?
Yes, you are.
Right. Now I'm standing on this square. What am I?
A human being.
Yeah, location doesn't change what I am. Same thing is true with the baby. It either is a baby or it isn't, and location doesn't make any difference. Fair enough?
Of course, yes. Sounds nice. Sounds reasonable.
Let me ask you a more personal question still.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a religious background?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I'm a Baptist.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did the Baptists ever teach you about life in the womb?
No.
Like Psalm 139, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, woven together in your mother's womb, that you are creation of God? Do you think you evolved, or were you created by God?
Created by God.
Good for you. So what do you think the Creator is going to do with you when he ends your life on this earth? Where are you going?
Wherever I earn.
You're a Baptist. What kind of theology is that?
Well, if I earn my way to heaven, then I'll make
all
it
right.
there.
So have you earned your way yet?
I hope so.
I see. What do you have to do to discern it?
Well, I am a sinner, but if I repent, then hopefully that'll be good enough to make
it
in.
Why would it be good enough?
It depends on whether I mean it or not.
Okay.
Whether I'm truthfully, you know, what I truthfully want to be.
That you're sincere.
You know. Yeah.
All right. There's a big component missing from what you just said, okay? Mm-hmm. You'd be like a criminal standing before a judge saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. The judge will say, you should be sorry, you've done wrong. But I'm just, and I must punish you. And the judge will send you off to jail. God would do the same thing. You can say you're sorry, but it doesn't help you because you're guilty, and just confessing your guilt, he'd still punish you and send you off to hell. What's your first name?
Well, I don't want to give my first
name. That's fine. All right. Bob. I'm going to call you Bob because I don't like not using your name and double negatives. Okay, Bob, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would.
Okay. I'm going to prove to you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, you're not. All right? Very sobering. Ready? How many lies have you told in your life?
I don't really know.
A few? Couldn't tell you. 100? 1,000?
I don't have a number.
More than one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bible says all liars, it only takes one, all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Have you stolen anything in your lifetime?
Maybe like some candy or something.
Okay. Doesn't matter the value of the item. It's about the heart that you've stolen something, which indicates, too, that you don't trust God to provide for you. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Blasphemy. Instead of praising his name, you used it as a four-letter filth word.
Nah.
GD, that type of stuff. Oh, my.
Oh, well, yeah, I've said that.
Okay, that's blasphemy. Because his name is holy, and we should be praising it and not dragging it through the mud. A little bit more in depth. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Bob, today alone, walking around the campus, have you broken that commandment? Have you lusted sexual desires? Privacy of your own heart, you can answer that question, whether you've lusted for another human being or not. Okay? When you die, God will judge you because he's righteous and he's holy. And he hates sin. Would he find you innocent or guilty?
I believe I'd be guilty of sin.
That's right.
However, I also believe that God stresses forgiveness. I believe there's no telling. You know, I'm not God, so there's no way I'd be able to tell.
Here's the big piece of information. Okay, you said something earlier before. You kind of tossed it off, and we have a tendency to do that. I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. Like, no big deal. I took you through four of the Ten Commandments to help you understand. No, dude, you are a sinner. You are a really bad sinner. Let's be honest. You've lusted a lot. Maybe looked at pornography, sexual desires, lied, dishonored your parents, didn't do what you were told the first time. Man, think about when you were a kid, how many times you didn't do what mom or dad said. Dishonoring parents. Thought life. The things you failed to do, how many times you haven't thanked God for your education, for your backpack, for the air, for the nice day, for food. We've been living like rebels. We've really got to comprehend, no, I'm a sinner, and I'm in big trouble on Judgment Day. And God can't just say, no big deal, Bob, I'm going to let you go, because that wouldn't be just. But God is just, and he's rich in mercy. So to satisfy justice, he did something so that you don't have to go to hell. What did God do to provide a payment for you, the sinner, so you don't have to go to hell?
We went to hell for us. Jesus died on the cross, went to hell, and paid for our sins.
He suffered hell on the cross. Started really when he was born. He set his rights to divinity aside, stuffed himself into a human body, lived a crummy life, lived under the law, keeping every single law that you and I can keep, was forsaken by men, brutalized by men, put on a cross, taking the wrath, the punishment that you deserve. Your payment has been satisfied by what Jesus did, so that you can be set free. God can't turn a blind eye to justice, but he can forgive you if your fine has been paid. You've broken God's laws, and Jesus paid your fine. Now he can set you free. But, Bob, you got to repent now, not when you die. Too late. And you turn from your sins, putting your trust in Jesus Christ. You repent and trust the Savior. The Bible describes it as being born again.
Well, you can trust me when I say that. And I say that I thank God for, you know, my experiences here, you know, with my girlfriend, with life every day. Yes,
are you a sinner?
I repent for my sins almost every day. I may slip and, you know, miss a day or maybe two, but I'll come back. I'll repent in the beginning,
Bob, and I don't know your heart. I'm not your judge. But here's what you said. If you're good, you're maybe going to go. What we've just learned, the Bible says nobody does good, no, not one. You don't need to be good. You need to be forgiven. You must repent. It's where you come clean with God and apologize and cast yourself at his feet for his mercy.
Well, I mean, every branch of Christianity, for what I understand, well, teach you something different about that. It's all up for human interpretation. Like, everyone can read the Bible. Everyone come up with their own interpretation. Right. But I've got to go back, look at it, and come up with an interpretation of my own. And, you know, when I want, I know I'm not supposed to put anything before God, but I do have to make it my own priority.
You've got a Bible, right?
Yes.
All right. Crack it open to Luke chapter 11. Read it to the end, and you're going to see Jesus means it. You must die to yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after him. Not just saying, oh, I believe, yeah, I'm a sinner, I'm on my way. No, no, no. You die to yourself, willing to forsake everything, to follow after him. You don't go live in a monastery, but your attitude is, I'm done with my sinful self. I'm done with living for me and my sins, and I put my trust in Jesus Christ. That's what Luke 11 following teaches. So please read it. Don't trust me. Trust what the Bible says, okay? Mm-hmm. Please do that. I don't want you to go to hell. Don't die in your sins. God will forgive you, okay? What did I say you must do to be forgiven of your sins? Do you remember I used two words? Remember, one begins with an R.
Okay.
And?
I don't recall.
Trust the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Thanks very much for talking to me. I appreciate it. Sir. Goodbye. See ya. Bob. How many Baptists are there like that? How many Baptists are there like that? When we come back on this Witness Wednesday, we'll visit Jay, who's sitting in hell, on Wretched Radio.
Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound. It feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
Holding a newborn, playing with a puppy, eating a chocolate cake fresh out of the oven, becoming a gospel partner. These are some of the best feelings in the world, and you can experience one of them right now. Supporting Wretched means helping spread the gospel, equipping the saints, and strengthening the local church. And every penny you give is carefully and gratefully stewarded. If you are not a Wretched Gospel partner, would you consider becoming one today? Not only will it keep Wretched on the air, but it'll feel better than a hug from your grandma. Well, pretty close anyway. If you are a gospel partner, please know we are eternally grateful for your faithfulness and your generosity. So please, consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate today. It's that simple. Wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Books of the Bible. Colossians was written by Paul to combat false teaching, which taught adherence to dietary laws and religious festivals, and claimed special knowledge received through visions. Paul argues that Christ's sacrifice and revelation are sufficient for salvation. When you are tempted to add to the gospel, remember, Jesus is sufficient, and you can trust in him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow! There's actually a booth here at Georgia State where people are trying to convince somebody that the Flying Spaghetti Monster exists. Not. This is Wretched Radio, and it's a Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia State University. We have been efficiently going about polling people to see if we actually exist. As best I could tell, okay, 1 in 4 doesn't think for sure that we're actually here. Maybe 1 in 5, if that makes you feel any better. We're doing a Witness Wednesday, and we, earlier in the day, we're talking to an atheist. He's the president of the Communist Party, I know, here at Georgia State University, and I witnessed to him, and we left him in hell. We didn't give him the good news, we just simply left him in hell. Good person test, explain to him God's righteousness and his wrath, he'd be going to hell. Let him sit there. I want to go back and talk to him as we wrap up the day here at Georgia State, but it's interesting, he's standing there with a sign, he's on his shoulder, like he's an open-air evangelist. He's standing there trying to convert people to believing in nothing. Why is it that we see atheists doing this? I mean, what bug do they have in their bonnet? Is that the way that goes? Well, confused metaphor aside, is that what that is? What motivates a guy to get up and do this? I want to find out, and I want to see if he's had any thoughts about what it means to spend eternity in hell, because that's where we left him. Okay, when we left, dude, I'm curious. I've got to ask, before we get back to our earlier conversation, you're standing here holding this thing up. Your arm's got to be getting tired. What are you trying to do today? I know you're trying to promote your debate.
Yeah.
But are you trying to get people to not believe in God?
I mean, to a certain extent, I want people to, you know, check out atheism and consider it as
why?
Because I think it makes the most sense.
All right. But why are you motivated to believe in nothing? Why would you want these people to believe in nothing?
Because that's what exists. Nothing.
But why are you trying to convert them to that way of thinking? What's it hurting?
I think we have to be evangelical about it. Just like, you know,
why?
Other
you don't
Christians
believe in
need to be evangelical.
But what's the benefit?
We need to be evangelical atheists. And actually,
what's the benefit
is that you actually understand the world the way it is. Just like, you know, if you believe in evolution, you can use antibiotics, which if you don't believe in evolution, you can't go with antibiotics because they rely on the science of evolution to actually create them.
But what does a person gain by converting to atheism?
They gain, like, a knowledge of reality. It's like, why does anybody go to school? To learn about reality.
So that's the draw. That's the punchline.
Yeah.
That's why somebody should convert to...
Yeah,
to
they should stop believing in fairy tales and start believing in what's real, which is atheism.
You, though, get out of bed in the morning, and you spend a lot of energy doing this, don't you?
Mm.
Why do you care about people?
Because I think, like, you know, humanity is a beautiful thing, you know? The human race is, like, a great...
You believe in evolution.
Yeah, because of what it's
that's
been able to accomplish.
That's not evolutionary thinking.
What do you mean?
Isn't it survival of the fittest? Dog eat dog?
No.
It sure is. What is it?
Not according to Darwin.
It sure is.
Darwin said there was natural selection in species populations.
Exactly. How does it work? The strong eat the weak. It's about favored races.
No, it's not.
It's the subtitle of the book.
No,
dude.
It's not. You're not.
It's not?
Where's the book? Show me the book.
Well, it exists, although we can't see it.
Really?
But we've all seen a copy, right?
We're going to worship the book now?
Okay. All right. So you think that it's important to care about people?
Yeah.
Why?
Because people actually exist, unlike a god, which is not there.
I understand. But here's what I'm getting at. Can you tell me where the concepts that you're describing actually come from?
Didn't come from the Bible.
To
like in the Bible, they say, you know, like, oh, if you treat your slaves all right, that's good.
Right.
They don't say get rid of slavery. The Bible is totally down with slavery.
Okay, you're running all over different kinds of trails here today.
No, I'm talking about morality. If you want to talk about morality, let's talk about the morality in the Bible.
No, I'm asking you, where does the concept of morality come from?
It came from human interactions and trying to govern how humans interact
with each other. So we learned it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So how do we determine, then, whose morality is right?
Well, I think it depends on whether or not it contributes to emancipating humanity and making life better for humans.
Okay, so that definition that you've decided is correct.
Yeah.
What if I disagree with that? My life experience is just the opposite. In fact, let's try a little... Just try to go with me on this. Use your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I take you from this place, put you in the back of a van, and then take you to a lab and tie you up and start giving you electric shock therapy.
Uh-huh.
Because that's just the way I am. Those are my morals, and that's what I believe. You would scream like a baby, saying, it's wrong, it's evil, stop it,
no, that's
let
why
me
I'm
go.
Against things like the Inquisition, where they did that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Why are you opposed to it? It's because you understand that it's wrong.
Yeah.
And that understanding must come from a moral lawgiver. A universal understanding of right and wrong isn't something that comes out of the blue. It comes from an objective morality. Do you understand that? I know you don't agree with it, but do you understand what we're arguing for when we Christians ask you the question, where does morality come from?
I've read the Bible. Right. I was a Christian before.
No, you weren't.
I was a Christian.
No, because you're not one now. That means you weren't one then.
Oh, okay. What, is it straight edge or something? Come on.
Okay, so wait a second. So then you were wrong then?
Yeah.
How do you know you're not wrong now?
Well, I mean, like, to a certain extent, you could say, like, well, you know, everybody's always increasing their knowledge.
Did you really think God existed back then?
Yeah.
But you don't believe he exists now?
No.
So you were wrong then. What if you're missing some knowledge today? You could be wrong.
There is no evidence at all for a God. The only thing that says that there's a God is a Bible, which was written by men to justify certain social conditions.
There's way more things that say there's a God.
Like what?
But you'll suppress it. You'll reject it. God created a universe to speak to you and say, I'm a creator. I exist. All right, Jake. When we left, I walked you through 10 commandments.
You didn't walk me through 10 commandments. I asked you to. You didn't tell me the 10 commandments.
Okay.
I mean, I thought the 10 commandments were that he gave them to Moses so that he could, like, kill people if they broke them.
Yeah, they're actually a schoolmaster to bring you to your senses and to an understanding that you need forgiveness. That's what they're giving.
Where does it say that in the Bible?
Galatians 3:23.
Do you have a Bible on you?
Okay. Well, apparently you don't trust what I'm saying. But
no, I want to see
take
the Bible.
Me my word. There you go. You can look it up if you'd like to. Now, you were, by your own admission, a lawbreaker. You would stand before God. He would find you guilty. You'd be going to hell. That doesn't concern you at all?
No, because it doesn't exist.
Nothing inside of you that makes you go, ugh, that says, you know what, that sounds right.
No, I don't think there's any fear of going to hell or any of this stuff. Because, like, equally, you could say, well, why I should believe in the Quran, and because I could go to hell and be punished by Allah.
Right.
Or I should believe in Rastafarianism because right. Haile Selassie will punish me if I don't follow him.
Right.
You know, so, like, why not believe in every religion then?
Because those are wrong.
What makes them wrong and another one right?
Because it's contrary to the Bible and the Bible is right.
How do we know the Bible's right?
Because it says it is and it was written by God and it's self-attesting.
So,
it proves that it's right. And it makes sense. It makes sense.
Well, this doesn't say the Ten Commandments.
No, it says the law is a schoolmaster to bring people.
All right, well, the law then. So do we follow all the Old Testament laws?
Okay, you're going down another
road. No, I'm just asking. Do we?
You asked? There it is.
I mean, Jesus said he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Covenant, but he didn't fulfill the prophecy of a Messiah.
I'm sorry?
He didn't. The Messiah was supposed to come and, like, create world peace and actually, you know, give Israel back to the Jewish people, the Hebrews and the 12 tribes and stuff like that. It didn't happen. He was killed by the Romans, and then he got, you know, the Jews got driven out of Israel.
If you get a chance, Google near-far prophecies. You'll understand, very typical. Some prophecies are fulfilled immediately, some in the distant, in the future, and some in the very far future.
But if he got killed, he didn't really fulfill the prophecy.
And he died as a human being on a cross to forgive you of your sins. That's why he died. As a Messiah. He was bruised and beaten for you. 700
years
before. But
that's not in the prophecy.
Isaiah 53.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'll leave you with this thought, all right?
Okay.
God has provided for you. This is the message of the Bible. God has really provided a way for you to know that he exists. First of all, he's put it into your brain. You just know it. Second of all, you can reject that. But he's also given you a creation to remind you that he exists. Mm. It's 28 billion light years wide. He made it plenty big for you to be in awe of who he is. He gave you a book filled with prophecies about his son.
But a lot of it's wrong, though.
None of it is wrong.
Like the Bible says
let me finish my sermon.
Kept the sun in the sky while Joshua, so he could slaughter some more people in this battle.
When was the last time you called up the weather station, the news station, and complained about the weatherman because he said the sun came up this morning at 5:55? Have you ever done that?
No, I'm talking about in the Bible it says
I am too. Yeah,
he stopped
I got it.
The sun in the sky.
Okay. Yeah.
For, like overnight so he could kill more people. Like you can't stop the sun. The earth goes around the sun.
Listen for a minute. Yeah? I understand.
Okay.
But the sun doesn't rise, does it?
No.
Right. But that's what we say, isn't it?
Yeah, but God should know better
than
that.
No. God wasn't writing a science manual. He was writing in a language that you could understand. Time stopped. That's it.
No, I think we can understand science manuals. That's why we have like people here studying science.
It's not a science manual though. You don't want weathermen fired because they don't scientifically state that the sun actually appeared to rise because the earth was revolving this morning. Mm-hmm. It's the way we communicate. That's the way the Bible
Yeah, but the weathermen don't stand up there and grab the sun and hold it in place for a day.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's language. That's the way that it appeared. Mm-hmm. That's the way we talk. That's the way the Bible talks. Okay. But you don't call me a liar because that wasn't the intention.
No, God is a liar. He lied in Genesis.
What is pi?
No, God lied
What's
in
pi?
Genesis. God lied in Genesis.
What's pi?
I don't know. God should know.
Wait a second. You're calling him a liar, so I presume you know what
no,
it is.
No, God is a liar in Genesis.
3.1.
When God talked to Adam
4.
In the Garden of Eden, he said if he ate the fruit of knowledge,
dude,
he would die.
You're talking so much and
no,
not ever listening.
He did die.
Okay.
No, he did not die.
You're a classic. You're a classic.
He did not
example.
Immediately die.
You're a classic example.
And then
of
the serpent, Satan,
to
actually told the truth.
You
the serpent came up and
listen.
Said, "No, if you eat that, you're just going to have knowledge."
You're refusing
so
to
that,
listen.
That's in Genesis. I believe it's chapter 3 or 4.
Okay. Do you not want to learn?
No, I don't want to learn.
That is correct. Thanks for the chat. All right. Thank you very much. All righty. That is why, and it's relatively rare, but that would be an instance where to give somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ would be like throwing pearls before a swine. It's Witness Wednesday, Georgia State. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.